All passengers flying with Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.
When I got involved with Satanism, I mean, I wish I had known from the beginning how far this thing would have gone. As unbelievable as it sounds, what started as animal sacrifices, people began to talk about making human sacrifices. And I never knew at the beginning that this stuff was going to result in murder. You don't really rationalize the future, you know, you just kind of figure the devil will get you out of it. The devil will figure out a way. Look, we're serving the devil, we're soldiers, he'll make a way of escape, but that's a lie. I began to realize that the devil was not going to get me out of this thing when I was sentenced to more than 300 consecutive years in prison, which means that theoretically I'll be in here forever. It seemed so innocent at the start, but the devil, he didn't tell you what the end was going to be, that it was going to cost me my very life. And at that time, it was too late.
Now, here's your host.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Is it a beautiful day for you? No matter where you are at in this world, God is able to set you free. You see, when Jesus came, the Bible says that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, with strength and power and ability. And he went about doing good and curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The devil, well, he goes by a lot of names, Satan, Lucifer. Today could be your day of freedom. Stay tuned. Today, we are addressing spiritual forces that run, rule our lives, confuse our lives. They can make our lives good. They can make our lives bad. As we started today, we had the son of Sam, David Berkowitz, who tells his story, how he began a life of serving Satan. Then we have our guest today, Don Dickerman, the author of the book, When Pigs Move In. He is telling us of his service to God and what it's brought about in his life. Two very contrasting examples of what the spiritual world can do in your life. And in his book, he tells us how to sweep clean the demonic influences impacting our lives and the lives of others. He tells amazing stories of people set free. So here he is, our guest, Don Dickerman. Hi, Don. It's so nice to have you today to visit with us.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
The first personality I would like to talk to you about is of interest to many people in the world and particularly in the United States. What's that fellow's name?
David Berkowitz, The so-called son of Sam. You know, I could talk quite a while about the people that God has put in my life over the years that I guess if you were trying to make these things happen, you couldn't. But David Berkowitz, who's known as the son of Sam, probably one of the most infamous criminals in the world. In, I believe it was 76 and 77, he terrorized, he and a satanic cult that he was part of terrorized New York, shooting people and leaving notes, taunting the police. And when he was arrested and sentenced, it was worldwide news. I had been going into prisons for a couple of years, and I believed then what I believe now, that, you know, God can save anybody. And so I wrote David Berkowitz a letter. I'd never seen him, didn't know what he looked like. But I wrote him a letter and pretty much said, David, God still loves you, and Jesus can save you. Well, he wrote me right back and said, if I get out of here, I'll kill you. And I kind of say it jokingly now, but that stopped our correspondence for a while. But, you know, I think, it was 12 years later, I was preaching in his prison.
12 years later.
Yeah, he's at the he's still at this prison, Sullivan Correctional in upstate New York. I was preaching in his prison. I didn't actually have any conscious thought of that, but in the chapel service I preached, there were two or three from our ministry with me. I preached, and this man came up after the service, and he put his arm around me. They wear green uniforms in New York, put his arm around me, and kind of gave me a firm hug. He said, I just want you to know I appreciate you going into these dark places with the light of the gospel. And he said, I appreciate the service tonight. Extended his hand, and he said, by the way, my name's David Berkowitz. And immediately it registered to me that I'm standing in front of the man that I had witnessed to 12 years ago. And I said, David, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir, I was saved a couple of years ago up in Dannemora, New York, at the Clinton prison. From that moment, we became friends. I would say David Berkowitz, I would put him right at the top of inmates that I've met who have claimed to receive Christ. I believe he's genuine, without doubt. But David and I became friends, and I asked David, I said, do people know about this? And he said, not really. He said, I know the news media will get hold of it and they'll twist it. And he said, I don't know if I'm ready to share that. And I said, well, David, if you do, I'll print it. We'll make it in a testimony form, and I'll put it in the hands of everybody I see. Well, a few weeks later, he said, I believe I do want to share my testimony. So he sent me his handwritten testimony. It's on our website just the way he wrote it then. But he sent me his testimony, and I didn't know he was as well known as he was. But as we began to distribute it in the prisons, it eventually got into the hands of some television producers in New York. And I began to get phone calls, I think, from every major station, every outlet, you know, network. They all wanted the Son of Sam story.
Mm-hmm.
He had not spoken to the media since he was arrested. And so this was big news, but I didn't know it. So eventually, I guess you know this about the media, but they can find you. So I was actually preaching in some other prisons in New York at that time when some people from Inside Edition knocked on my motel room door. And I pretty much told them at the door, I said, no, he's not the Son of Sam anymore. He's the Son of God. He's born again. So I invited them in, they talked, and they said, look, he can say anything he wants to. He can talk about Jesus, his salvation. You can sit there beside him. You can cut off the program at any time, and I'll talk to him about it. Anyway, I went to see David and told him about it, and he said, I think the time's right. He said, I think I'm ready to tell the world what happened. But this was a man that was genuinely demon-possessed. I don't know if I've met people like what are described in the Bible as being genuinely demon-possessed. He craved darkness when he was a child. He tormented people. I went to the apartment where a lot of this stuff happened in the Soundview section of the Bronx, and he'd climb out of his room at night. I'm talking about a little boy, 10, 11 years old. Go down the fire escape and just roam the streets of New York. He said, I was like a wild dog. I was just attracted to darkness and evil. He said, I would get under my bed during the daytime and stay for hours. I'd lock myself in the closet. He said, I was more comfortable in darkness than light. Well, he managed to graduate from high school, and he said that was a miracle in itself. He joined the Army and spent, I guess, the minimum time in the Army. But when he came back to New York City, all the people he knew had moved on, they were married, they had families, and he said, I really felt alone in this big city. He wound up meeting some people that invited him to join a satanic cult, and he said immediately I was attracted He joined this cult called the Brotherhood. It's actually the same cult that Charles Manson was part of, but they didn't know each other. They were Satan worshipers. And the name Son of Sam actually came from one of the demons that they worshiped, Samhain, a druid spirit. They would meet in these parks and started off with chants and then animal sacrifices. And he said the time came when our leader, and said we kind of all knew it was coming, said Satan wants a human sacrifice. And David said, Don, I was a soldier. I was not a leader. I was part of, I think it was 24 people in this cult. But he said, I volunteered for the first victim. David shot six people. Three died. This is over a period of a year and a half to 2 years. Just random killings. But they were all sacrifices to Satan. It took place on satanic holidays. I mean, it was, one of the guys I know wrote a book about it called The Ultimate Evil. And that's what it was. He said, we just looked to bring chaos to New York City. And they actually did. It was people who lived there at the time remember it well. But today, David's saved. He's not going to ever get out of prison. I believe 13, 25 to life sentences stacked on each other, 350 years or something. David doesn't want to be out of prison. He said, I did kill three people. There were more than that killed, but he was responsible for three of them. And he said, this is where I'm supposed to be. I deserve to be here. But David, he's born again. He's chaplain's clerk. He leads in a lot of the chapel services there. He's just a joy to be around. God has changed his life so much. And I wouldn't say that about a lot of inmates that I've known, but I'm glad to say it about David. I know him personally. He calls me on the phone. I have a lot of confidence in what God has done in his life. When he talks about his life, he talks about his freedom from demons that tormented him from his earliest moment in life. But he didn't know at the time that's what it was. He didn't know until after he was saved that what he had been dealing with was demons. I also know the man that shot John Lennon, Mark Chapman. That's his testimony as well. He listened to the voice of demons, and these people are not like saying the devil made me do it. They're looking back on their life and giving what they believe is honest evaluation.
Yeah, and I thought some people, of course, when they experience demons, and I did too in my life, they're tormentors, and you may not be in the brotherhood where you're committing sacrifices. It's torment, agony, and some of the feelings are loneliness, deep pain, fear, rages of hate. Well, you had another man, I think, that followed David Berkowitz. I think his name was Alan. Tell us a little bit about that, too.
You know, Alan, he was an inmate in New Hampshire. Actually, I met him first in Massachusetts, and he was actually saved in one of our services. He got out of prison and somehow got back into crime, but he wound up in New Hampshire. He wrote me a letter, and they're never proud of their falling back into that lifestyle, but telling me that he was being tormented. He said he was just absolutely tormented during the night and day, and he said this thought of murder is constantly with me. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to kill somebody. I can't get rid of that thought of murder. And in a lot more detail. But so he asked if I would come to New Hampshire, take him through deliverance. But I really felt like I needed to, and I did. I made arrangements with the prison there in Concord, New Hampshire. When Alan came out, they let us meet in what they call an attorney's booth. It's got a measure of privacy, but it's kind of an open area. So Alan had this, you can almost sometimes look in the eyes of people, especially when they're at this point, but he wanted to be free. We started the process of, we always pray a prayer of confession, and it's a simple prayer, but it's something like, God, I thank you for Jesus. I am saved. I'm born again. I qualify for freedom, and because you've forgiven me, I forgive others. And it's a confession prayer, so I led him through that.
Don, in your book, When Pigs Move In, we read that you have been involved in over 25,000 deliverances, people being delivered from demons. I would like you to continue with the complete prayer and confession.
Well, yeah. And it's a simple prayer, and it's a prayer many people have prayed many times, but it's like a courtroom, and we're making a statement. So it's like, because you've forgiven me, I forgive others. I repent of anger and bitterness and hatred, rebellion, resentment, revenge, and probably would name many more, but all the works of the flesh. I denounce the sins of my ancestors. I totally separate myself from those sins and choose to be free. I renounce all unholy oaths and vows, pledges and ceremonies, and separate myself from all of those curses, secret societies. I denounce and confess as sin all unholy soul ties and choose to be free from those curses. Because Jesus is my Savior and Lord, my healer and deliverer, I choose to be free and I will be free. And so we pray, I lead the people through a prayer very similar to that. Mm-hmm. Well, God always honors confession. And he said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. So that kind of that brings the person to a point where they're ready to be free.
Mm-hmm.
I then bind demons with just like I'm talking to you right now, same
okay.
voice.
Let's hear some of that.
Well,
in this
okay,
process.
If people are
jump right in.
If people are listening, some demons are going to respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is pretty much the binding prayer. I bind every demon power anyway associated with this individual, whether in them, attached to them, or any way connected with their life. I call you under the authority of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus. You will not harm this person. You will not leave them and go to someone else. You will not split, divide, fragment, or clone, or in any way pass your duties on to others. You'll repair any damage, any disease, any disorder. You'll put everything back just as Jehovah God intends for it to be. I command the kingdom to line up in order of rank. I remove all of your crowns, all of your rights and your privileges. I command you to bend your knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. Be completely obedient to every command. I call to the front the highest ranking prince. I command you to join your kingdom together and without incident, come out of this person and go immediately and directly into the abyss. And that's pretty much the prayer in the binding, with the exception if I'm doing it with an individual. I would command at that point the prince demon, the highest ranking demon power present, to give me his name. They all have names. And for a few years, Jim, I dealt with deliverance not knowing anything, but by functions. I would command spirit of fear, spirit of whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out is they're set up like a kingdom, like a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a boss. There's underlings, and there may be several kingdoms there. They like to be called kingdoms. They're set up pretty much like the angelic kingdom. But there's always a leader. It's like a mafia. Somebody, some demon is running that kingdom in that person's life. So where I was binding spirits of fear, I learned there's a whole fear department there. There may be 50 spirits of fear.
Oh, my.
So what I learned is find out who's the boss. And they all have names. And I don't want anybody to run off the road, but generally the name of some of the prince demons is a demon named Apollyon, a demon named Leto. I have recorded maybe 30,000 names of demons that we've encountered personally. And so they've all got names just like Jim. So when I'm casting out demons by function and I say preacher, I could be anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my name's not preacher, it's Don. So when you call me preacher, you might be talking to me, but when you call me Don, you're talking to me. So I found that God honored that, to find out getting to the bottom of the setup and the top of the kingdom. And so it's difficult in any situation to walk into a corporation or a company and say you want to talk to the president. You're probably going to talk to several people before you do talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who you want. And so the Holy Spirit has shown us, it's almost like inside information. My my pastor jokingly says, you're like the CIA of the spirit world. Well, it's set up, their personalities, and they're set up with a rank. And so when you get to the top guy, you pretty much, that's who you want. You want him to take the rest of them with him. And so it's not really complicated. I think Hollywood and some of the myths that we have about demons, some of the TV ministries we've seen with the yelling and holding people down, and those are just so contrary to what the real truth is. It's all based on legalities. Demons are extremely legalistic. But it's like a courtroom where we call them before Jehovah God. And when they're put under oath, we found out they'll lie to us all day, but they won't lie to Jehovah God.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And so we get truth. Once we get truth, and many times we'll say in a deliverance session, will that stand as truth before Jehovah God? A lot of times the demon will say no. Well, then you must speak the truth. So you get the truth. You find out in reality they're kind of like little brats that get in and just mess things up. And that's what they do, is disorder. And you're talking about some of the things that people experience through their torment is hopelessness. Some mm-hmm. people don't see a way out. They just, hopelessness and unworthiness, self-worth, mm-hmm. they rob self-worth. And mm-hmm. and what Jesus said about demons is that they rob, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never found them to do anything different than that. They rob our peace. They steal joy. They steal our health. And so many times you give a command to a demon and say, well, you know, what's your name? And you get a particular name. The next thing we ask them is, what's your function?
Okay.
What do you do with the demon power? And then maybe take that a step further and say, what did God create you to do as a holy angel?
Oh, my. What's some of the things they would say there?
Well, once you get that name, the name that God created them to do as a holy angel, many times they'll give you their creative name, and that's what you want, is that the name Jehovah God gave you when he first created you. Many times when you get that name, you've got it nailed, because you'll say, well, what was your creative purpose? He created you to do what? I bring peace. So as a demon, hopelessness. Depression, it's going to always be the opposite.
Interesting.
And so at that point, you've got their name, you've got them now. It's like you've got them in handcuffs. And the bottom line question is do you have any legal consent to stay in this person's life? Is there some unconfessed sin? It's usually no, but occasionally it might be, yeah, they have unforgiveness in their life. Well, we'll just stop the deliverance and ask the person, you don't have to tell me what it is, but do you have some unforgiveness? Yeah, I do. It's, for my mother or whatever. So we just ask them very simply, well, just choose to forgive your mother. Speak that. Say that. And they do. You go right back into the deliverance and command the demon, now do you have legal permission to stay? No, that was my consent. So it's really a pretty simple process, and that's really what it is a process. It's principles. And there, I guess there's four principles. I'll say this quickly, but if you're dealing with anyone, the first principle is either they do or they do not have demons. That applies to, that's the first principle, you do or you don't. The second principle is if you do, it must be because there's some kind of legal right in your life. Now, that could be a lot of things. It could be ancestry. It could be a lot of the doorways we open. But if they're there, it has to be because they had a legal permission. They can't just say, let's go get Dr. Rome. So the third thing is, there is no permission that cannot be canceled in the name of Jesus. So once you discover what the permission is, the legal consent, you just ask the person to confess it. You know, genuinely confess it. Once that's done, every demon is subject to the name of Jesus. I've never seen that fail. And so it's not the myth that most of us have believed over the years. I've never seen anybody thrown into a wall or head spin around.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of shaking and trembling and coughing and, you know, those kind of things, but nothing like the movies portray.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And all these things began to touch my heart. One night, I was in my cell, and it was near midnight, and I was reading the Bible. I don't even remember what passage it was, what psalm, but suddenly I just felt this overwhelming urge to just open up. I just felt something come upon me where I says, God, you know, I can't take this anymore. God, if you're real, if you're around, if you're out there, if you want anything to do with me, I don't know. But I'm just sick of the way I live. I'm sick of the way I live my life. I'm sick of all the torment that I went through. I'm sick of all the hatred. I'm sick of having to live with knowing that I hurt innocent people, knowing that I destroyed lives. I'm sick of the devil. I'm sick of being lied to. I don't give a darn anymore. If you're interested in me, if you could hear me, you know, let me just start pouring my heart out to you. In the quietness, I just started crying and crying, and all this stuff was just coming at me. I said, God, I'm so sorry for living like an animal. I'm so sorry for all these things, Lord God. I don't even understand what happened. Lord, it seems like I never had a moment peace, God. I never had a moment of peace or happiness in my life, not real happiness. And I just began to cry. I don't even remember exactly what I said, but when I got up off my knees, I felt that the tremendous load had been lifted from my shoulders. I don't know, something happens.
Bless me. His precious life he gave my sinful soul to save. When I was lost, he came and found me. It's called mercy. And from my guilt, he then unbound me. It's called pardon. And when he sees the way I live, he can still say, I forgive. There's only one way to define it. It's called love. Oh, what a peace I now enjoy. My sinful past he did destroy.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry.
Thank you for tuning in to Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome.
Would you like to be part of this ministry, this radio ministry, and share these type of messages? I don't think these messages are heard anywhere else on the radio, and we are on secular radio where we reach a new audience. So be a part by getting on our webpage, and there's a donate button there. Our webpage is www.globalairforce.net. Once again, our webpage is globalairforce.net, and you can easily and quickly send a gift to support this ministry.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.